Well, welcome to Situation Report for April 28th. A couple of public service announcements before I dig into the topic for today. First things first, the last show, the last Situation Report on this channel will be on May 5th. And then on May 9th, we'll start the new channel, Path Forward. It's in the show notes, as well as Spreadshirt for the t-shirts, etc. And at some point in June, I'll be coming out with another set of t-shirts related to the Path Forward. I'm still working on getting the shows put together. First show is going to be with, right now, tentatively with Michael Yon to get the situation update on what's going on in both Panama as well as Japan, where he's going to be, and I'm looking forward to that. I was looking at having two different guests on for the first show, and Michael Yon seemed like he was the right choice just because he's in the thick of it. So anyway, more to follow on that. I've been off grid for about the last week and a half. Had family stuff going on, had kids here. And then last weekend, I went to the off-bronc rodeo up in Moab. And I got to say, I was overwhelmed. Ford doesn't do shit right. They don't do a lot of things right, but they did this right. And I have a Bronco, one of the new Broncos, and I ordered it, I don't know, 2021 when they came out. And it took 3 years to get here. Of course, I bought an F-150 like a week before the Bronco showed up. So I had way too many, you know, pickups. Now I don't have enough. But I will say that I didn't realize how much I didn't know about the new Broncos. 10-year development cycle. And I mean, it's off the factory floor. You can take it off-roading, and if you drive it right, you won't break anything. It's designed to go off-road right from the showroom, which I think is impressive given that, you know, it was a 10-year development cycle and Ford actually put a lot of thought into it. So, and I had no idea until I got there, right? And really interesting day. Moab is beautiful, by the way, and went to Monument Valley on the way up there, reminded myself why this is such an amazing country and how lucky we are to be here. And got to spend, you know, 3 days with my girlfriend doing that, which was great. She did most of the driving, actually. You know, I've driven side-by-sides, Humvees, you name it, tanks, you name it. I've been off-road. And it was nice to see her. You know, she's never done off-roading. And so it was nice to see her learning and gaining confidence. It was really cool. Big thanks to Peter, brother. I really appreciate you more than you know. And he took us in a lead vehicle for the whole day. And it was just an amazing experience. And I gotta say that I'm really humbled by the caliber of people and the audience. I'm always stunned. First of all, I like the fact the audience does deep research. Second of all, I like the fact that I get feedback. Whether I like it or not, I get feedback. And it's been an interesting journey to get to where I'm at now. I still got a long ways to go to get the new show set up and get the new format set up and get all the right hosts for the shows that I want to do on the channel. But it's starting to come together. I mean, there's still lots of work to do, and it'll take probably 3 to 4 months to get the show completely solidified into what I want it to be. And just to recap, for those of you who didn't hear the spiel on the last sit rep, I've been doing this for 5 years. And in that 5 years, I never took stock of what we were doing wrong. And I still have an amazing group of guys that are in the round table. We have a round table chat with all the guys. And, you know, it's not without its share of ego and spats. And most, you know, it's a room full of alphas. What do you expect? But the thing I appreciate the most about it is that we don't always agree, right? And, you know, just like the left and the right, there's times where we vehemently don't agree. And the beauty of it is we can agree to disagree, and most of us are starting to come around and get to that place where we don't have to agree, and that's okay. And, you know, the current events that I'll get to in a minute, a lot of that we would go and analyze all that information, but we never really told people what to do with that information. So the new channel is set up to not only help you process the information that's in front of you, but tell you what to do with it and give you real world tools and stuff you can use in your everyday life. And I use the example of most people don't know how to manage money. We don't teach how money's made, how to manage money in school anymore, right? We don't teach sewing. We don't teach typing. There's a host of things that we don't teach anymore. Civics is one of those. So most of the generations after me really don't have a deep basis in history. They don't really understand how the country was formed, where the country came from. We're going to give you the history. We're going to give you how to process that. And then we're going to give you useful things to use and do with that information. And I'm still going to be interviewing people on the path forward. I'm still going to be doing individual shows. And I'm in the process now of trying to line up guests for the next several months, regardless of what's going on in the political landscape, right? Because I want to get away from politics, because I think that's just a never-ending self-licking ice cream cone of dysfunction. And so I'm trying to tailor the channel towards useful information that you can go back to. And a case in point is, you know, Troop's done probably 20 videos on water and water purification. That's going to be an episode where you can refer back to it and download it off of Rumble and keep it in your archives. So you know, if you have to pull it out, it's there. And that's what we were missing before, was what do you do with it? You know, what do we, you know, we give you all this information, do all this analysis, what the hell am I supposed to do with that? So, you know, it's basic life stuff. It's basic information, but more importantly, a lot of it's going to be common sense, and you can't teach common sense, right? So that's what I'm hoping to do with this. I'm going to bring along most of the guys from the Roundtable crew, you know, guys like Matt Everett, Joe Dolio, E.M. Burlingame. Those guys all have their own shows, right? But I plan on having them on as guests and doing analysis and talking through different topics, especially comms and training, right? Those guys are experts at training. I could talk to it, but it wouldn't do it any justice, and that's their domain. Then off of the main topics, each one of my show hosts is going to have a Substack where they drill down into specific information. And I'm going to rebrand the preparedness Substack and create the path forward and create different topics within that that's useful information off of that. And I'll be posting one article a week to that about a variety of topics. Everything from cybersecurity to grid down conditions. So look forward to that, and bear with me. It's going to take several months to get it up to where I want it to be. So just public service announcement on that. But again, the last show is going to be on May 5th. The link for the path forward is in the show notes from last week and this week, and it'll be in. I posted it again today on both Truth Social and on Twitter and on Gab, so you know how to find me in the new on the new channel. I'm going to leave this channel up probably for a year and then take this channel down and just focus on the path forward. So stay tuned to stay tuned. Got a lot of questions over the weekend. Of course, my phone blew up this morning with the Spain outage. Let me just start by saying everything I'm going to talk about from here forward is I don't know what I believe. I don't discount anything, but I also don't take everything at face value. I give it 24 to 40 hours for the situation to develop, and then I start forming an opinion. And you should do that too, because there's so many different things that can be manipulated through AI, through a variety of different tools, we don't know really what the ground truth is in a lot of these situations. And case in point is this Virginia Guthrie thing. So she supposedly committed suicide, which I don't believe. And she got hit by a bus, which started liver failure, which I don't believe. And, you know, she could be dead, but we'll never know what the truth is because she didn't have any family around her. Her kids were, she had lost custody of her kids. There's a variety of things going on in that situation. And it was the perfect storm. And it's the kind of thing that the elite do very, very well is create the perfect storm and then change the narrative. So I'm not sure what I believe in that situation. I do know this. Because of her bravery, she outed Prince Andrew and she outed the royal family as pedophiles. And that I believe because King Chucky was good friends with Jimmy Savile, who was the most notorious pedophile and child rapist murderer in UK history. And Andrew is a pedophile. That's been proven now. And she had the stones. When nobody else did to come forward and keep pressing the story until it made national news. And that in and of itself is worthy of our respect and praise. And I, you know, there's a swath of the population that thinks she's in protective custody. There's a swath of the population that thinks that she's actually dead. There's a swath that thinks she's in hiding. Whatever the truth is, We will see in time what the reality is. I tend to think that she probably is dead, but it wasn't the circumstances that they're telling us that led to her death. She was probably killed by the elite, specifically by MI6, in retaliation for outing the royal family. That's how petty they are. Remember, the elite have long memories. They're very petty people, and they have nothing better to do than sit around and hold a grudge. That's how these people operate. And if you think I'm kidding, go look at any of the stories around Hillary Clinton. You will find a very petty, self-centered, narcissistic person that holds a grudge. I mean, besides that she's downright evil, you'll see a very different side of her when you dig into the books about her and the people that know her and the people that, you know, have died because of the Clintons, e.g. Clinton body count. You'll see a different side. And that is how the elite operate. They're very, very petty. And you would think that they wouldn't be with all the money, but, you know, people are who they are. And if they don't, you know, do the work or grow up in a healthy environment, they can be just like you and I, have our issues. So That's why I think of Virginia Guthrie. I think that I think she was probably killed by MI6. And then there's the whole space launch, space orgasm, 3 minutes, you know, 3 minutes to climax, come back to Earth, and the ship is basically a yurt hoax that Bezos put on. And there's a bunch of pictures coming out now of Bezos and Katy Perry leaving a studio, which we all knew. Look, here's the 411 on how a space launch works. So single stage to orbit was something that the U.S. wanted to do from the 60s on. And it was basically unattainable until Musk came around and redesigned rockets and built the right type of rocket and payload, et cetera. And for Blue Orifice to single stage to orbit with, what, 6-7 people on board? That's an incredible amount of energy. And then come back and land? Yeah, whatever, dude. There was no way he could have pulled that off in the first place. And then the second piece is, when that capsule leaves orbit, from that second on, it is all about oxygen, preservation of life, and reentry. And there is, we spent tremendous amounts of time during both the Gemini missions, the Apollo missions, and subsequent missions studying reentry and studying heat shields, right? There wasn't a mark on that thing. which is one of the first things that I called out. Yeah, that doesn't look like it went to space. And anything that goes to space comes back with some kind of burn marks. Even the shuttle, you know, when it didn't burn up, when the heating tiles fell off, came back and there was burn marks and scorch marks on the spacecraft, because that's just how it works, right? So I don't believe anything around the Blue Orifice launch. I think that was just a stage sideshow to give Blue Origin credibility. But, you know, Blue Origin is just like Amazon. It's one big dysfunctional family. And if you don't know anything about Amazon, Amazon is basically every quarter they do these rating systems and it's up or out, right? They pick somebody to beat down and then they either push them out of the company or they beat them down. Then they move on to somebody else. It's just a group of thugs running around beating on each other. And it's this big dysfunctional organization. Jeff Bezos can say whatever the hell he wants. I've interviewed there several times. And every time I get to the last interview, like I was a whole day interview and I get to the last interview and they're like, what do you think? I never want to work here. You people suck. You're a bunch of drones. You run around. You're Amazon. You're special. And Microsoft used to be the same way, right? We know best. It's the same kind of shit. And Blue Orifice is just the same, right? He created this just like the Washington Post, et cetera. He created these organizations that emulate his dysfunctional behavior. And, you know, leadership starts at the top. The culture starts at the top. So that's all you need to know. If they can't put six people in space like Elon, guess what? They're never going to do it. And he's not the only billionaire that's pumped money into a space program that never went anywhere. So I don't buy a word of the Blue Orifice guys. And look, I've been down to Vandy. I was stationed at Vandy for Vandenberg for, you know, months on end doing training, right? Because that's where all the missileers are trained. That's where all the launch officers are trained. Used to be anyway. I don't know where they're trained now. And then you either go to the Cape or you go to, you stay at Vandenberg. And we used to launch out of Vandenberg, right? Now SpaceX owns, you know, Slick 4, Slick 5, Slick 6. And Slick 6 was built for the Space Shuttle Space Launch Complex, called the acronym SLICK. And Space Launch Complex 6 was built for the Space Shuttle. Never launched there because they figured out once they built it, you know, the waves, shock waves from the rockets would probably break the spacecraft apart on the pad once it started the engines. Because if you've never seen a rocket take off, especially some of the old Titans, man, they burn like the sun and it shakes the ground. And if you can think of the Space Shuttle taking off right next to a mountain, that would be, in a word, mostly bad. Technically, mostly bad. So that landscape at Vandenberg has changed, and Blue Orifice has one launch site down there, and it's like dormant all the time because they can't get past their own dysfunction to get anything into space. Whereas Elon is more of a slave driver, and he's driving people at SpaceX to get stuff done. And look at what they've accomplished, right? So I don't buy anything about Blue Orifice. I think it's just a big dysfunctional cat show is what it really is. And that brings me to the whole Spain outage. Spain, Portugal, parts of France, power out. And the official story is it's a solar geomagnetic storm that hit the Earth that caused this outage. That could be true. I tend to think with, you know, Trump coming out saying we can bend space and time, that probably this is a man-made event, predictive programming, a test, whatever you want to call it, probably some geomagnetic worked in there so that they could plausibly deny. I don't know. I don't know what to believe on this one. I just know that now they're saying, again, we're still in the first 24 hours, 24 to 48 hours, folks. First 24 hours, now they're saying that, hey, we may not be able to bring power back to the whole country. Okay, that's mostly bad. So we'll see how that one develops. I think there's a little mix there between, you know, let's just say government capability, Mother Nature, and the right conditions. And then there's the multiple explosions in the Middle East, one in Iran, one in Yemen, or several in Yemen, and the loss of the Kursk region by Ukraine. So things are starting to develop. And I would think that the Iranian stuff is sabotaged by MI6 and or by Mossad because they couldn't attack Iran. So, but it could be as innocuous as it was an accident at a port. If you've been around a port and you've been around, you know, oil rigs and oil derricks, and you've been around natural gas, there accidents do happen. And there is a, you know, there's a host of things that can happen in any one situation, given that, you know, Israel has wanted to attack Iran and try to draw us into a war for the last 2 years. And all of a sudden, because they couldn't attack Iran, now Iran's starting to have explosions inside the country. You could make the leap. So I think it's interesting that a lot of this stuff is happening right around the 100-day mark with Trump, which is an indicator in and of itself, which brings me to Pam Bondi and the arrest of the judge. DC Drano was in the White House press room today and said, should the president invoke, I can't remember what section of the Constitution it is, basically Lincoln, Grant, and Roosevelt invoked the same thing where they suspended habeas corpus. I think there's two sides to that. And I think we need to be very careful how we tread forward. Part of me says, yeah, go do it. Start rolling up judges, start rolling up, you know, political activists in states, start rolling up governors, et cetera, et cetera. But here's a slippery slope. It's like military tribunals. It's a thing that all of us need to pay attention to, because there's three kinds of decisions. There's decisions in the moment based on the indications you have. There's long-term decisions based on the information you know and the information you have. And then there's the spirit of the decision, which is long-term decision-making, which you know is going to set precedents. We're in one of those moments of history where we're at a culmination point. It's like we were in the Civil War, just like we were after the Civil War, and just like we were in World War I and World War II. Those are decision points. Those are culmination points. And part of me says Trump should suspend habeas corpus. But if he does that, the precedent's set, and the next precedent can do the same thing. And the premise was suspend habeas corpus just for illegals, which I agree with, because they all need to go. And we need to be, we're deporting, what, 6,000 to 8,000 a month? We need to be deporting 500,000 to 1 million every month. Like, Trump needs to go on TV and say, very succinctly, all right, here's the deal. Wait, let me say it like Ross Brown. Okay, here's the deal. If you're here illegally, you got 1 month to fuck off. And if you fuck off and you don't come back and you apply, we'll consider you. But if you don't fuck off and we throw you out, you never come back. And oh, by the way, we're not giving you a bottle of water, a backpack, new clothes, and a bunch of money. You fuck off with what you have. And you stay fucked off. And that needs to happen right now. And then he needs to go through and sick the DOJ on all the Doge findings that are related to all the homes that they bought, the single family homes that Obama and Biden bought for all these illegals, especially in Texas. There's like 250,000. And they need to be sent to Gitmo for treason, because that shit is treason. And everybody in the food chain, and I mean everybody in the food chain that allowed public money to be spent on homes given to illegals, and as well as money given to illegals, all of you assholes go to Gitmo and we sort you out through a firing squad. How much money did you give to illegals? $500,000. Bam! And it should be that fast. How many illegals did you sponsor? How much money went to NGOs? How many NGOs are there? How many NGOs are you still reporting? Bam! And I mean every single one. Right down to the janitor that knew what was going on. Even Border Patrol agents. If you're a Border Patrol agent and you were enabling the invasion, you are a traitor. And you can hide behind that badge for just a little while longer. But once we reconstitute forces, you're going to Gitmo. That's how this has to be. And literally, they show up, quick, speedy trial, bam! Firing squad. I'm not kidding. You don't have to shoot everybody, but I'm telling you, you set a precedence, and the rest of them will fuck off and leave the country. Brennan did it, and I think that's glorious. Brennan and Hayden both left the country. They're supposedly in Australia. Guess what? Your civil liberties don't apply when you're in Australia. And if you're facing treason charges and you fuck off to Australia, guess what's following you? A Delta Force kill order. That's what's following you. And if I was Trump, I'd have signed that a week ago. No, I'd have signed that 100 days ago. John Brennan. See you later, pal. And I literally would have gone on TV and said, okay, here's the deal. John Brennan, since you left the country, beware of things that go boom in the night, because things are going to go boom in the night around you, probably with you in it. No, we're not extraditing anybody, Turbo. Fuck that. We don't extradite anybody. We drop bombs on their head. Those days are over. They had their chance to sit here and take their punishment, face their consequences. Nope. You leave the country, you get a kill order. And maybe that may sound harsh to some of you. These people committed treason. And when the truth about Obama comes out, and people realize that this guy truly was the Manchurian candidate, and everybody in D.C. in 2008 knew it, there's going to be a bunch of people that need to be rolled up, including career politicians. This whole nonsense around reconciliation. Yeah, reconciliation is lettucillin. That's what it is. A good dose of lead poison. There, you're forgiven. In fact, I think we should be doling out forgiveness one round at a time. Forgiven. 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 And the same goes with judges. The same goes with politicians. The same goes with oligarchs. Because remember, John Roberts is running a shadow court with an oligarch by his side. And now there's pictures surfacing of him in the Cayman Islands, like days after certain decisions, you know, walking into a Cayman Islands bank. Huh, I wonder what that's all about. All these people committed treason. And it needs to be exposed for the American public to see. And the true depth of their malfeasance really needs to be exposed to the entire world. And I've said this before, we're starting to see the disclosures that I thought were coming. They're starting to come out now. And I think that Mayorkas needs a fucking very public trial, and that motherfucker needs to have everything he's done a matter of public record. This is a guy that used to run the Immigration Management Office, IMO, down in Panama. That motherfucker needs a very public trial, and then he needs a very public execution. And maybe that sounds harsh. But guess what? We need to get back to the place where we don't fuck around with people. This concept of, you know, leniency for people who commit crimes. No. You know how you save a bunch of money in the prison system? Very simple. You steal something, you lose a hand. You kill somebody, you lose your life. You molest a child, you lose your life. Problem solved. But we got away from capital punishment because of quote unquote due process. I'll tell you what, if you made lawyers illegal and they all fucked off to a different country or whatever, they go, make them go to Canada. They can go up there and litigate themselves and diddle themselves forever. But if you did away with lawyers and actually had capital punishment, guess what? Crime rate would plummet. Because people would know that if you commit a crime and you get caught committing a crime, you're done. Game over. And we have enough technology, not only in this country, but in every city. And most of the time we catch these criminals. And if it's blatant like that, guess what? You're done. But if you're a scheming, maniacal psychopath or sociopath, okay, then I could see having lawyers to defend you, lawyers to go through and prove the evidence, right? And due process. But for these violent criminals that are on camera killing people, sorry, bam, problem solved. No court fees, no lengthy trials, no lengthy prison stays. They're done. That's where we need to get to. And I don't think we're going to get there, but a lot of these communists right now, and I don't know if you've caught this one, but I'm seeing an uptick in the narratives around civil war. I'm seeing an uptick in the narratives about, you know, liberals preparing to fight mega people, and mega people should just take their hats off and stop embarrassing the rest of us. All these narratives are starting. They're starting to build all these narratives. Why? Because they can't mobilize the troops to go and burn down the cities. So they have to incite some kind of a civil unrest and civil conflict. Why? They didn't get World War III. Ukraine is going to come to a very quick and abrupt end. And they're not going to be able to declare victory in Ukraine. And they need to reset the currency. I mean, all you got to do is go listen to, in fact, Vince Lance and Luongo, I think it was episode 235 or 234. Anyway, and he did one with Kate LeLong too, which I thought was very interesting. You know, Luongo's got a different view than I do, right? He thinks that that Trump is trying to separate us from the euro and from the City of London, which I would hope that he is. And I hope that Luongo's, you know, view, long view of the world is actually correct, and that we are trying to decouple from the City of London. But by the same token, you know, we need to reset the dollar here and reestablish both industry as well as production, which means something has to be done with the IRS. Something has to be done with the tax rate. Something has to be done with the tax system in this country. And then something has to be done about state taxes, because Washington State and California have gone off the deep end. Washington State is running a $2.3 billion deficit in their spending, and they just passed reparations where if you're a black homebuyer, first-time homebuyer, you get $120,000 credit. Where do you think that money's going to come from? And how are you going to prove that somebody's ancestors were even closely related or part of slavery? You're never going to prove that. And they just raised income tax, property tax, the gas tax, and a few other wealth taxes, what they passed. So they've gone off the deep end. Something needs to be done about these states. Something needs to be done about the media. And I don't know if, you know, I guess the best way to put it is, I don't know if you've been watching Congress, but they're flat on their ass doing nothing. All of them are talking about all the things they should do or could do. Like, we need to impeach these judges. Okay. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, has been tweeting up a storm about how we need to impeach these judges. Well, last I checked, you were a member of Congress, and you could file articles of impeachment on a judge instead of tweeting. And today she was at the White House walking by signs of illegals that have killed or hurt somebody. Yeah, that's an effective use of your time. Why don't you go do your fucking job? Stop pointing your ankles at the ceiling and get something done. Because you have about a year and a half left before we get to the midterms. And Americans put Trump there, as well as put you Republicans there, to actually do something besides diddle and hump each other. So why don't you put your clothes on and get back to work and actually pass some legislation? And while you're at it, you need to repeal the Smith-Mund Modernization Act, the 1986 Vaccine Act, and the Patriot Act, as well as all the other legislation that was passed during the Biden administration. What part of that is ambiguous? Because clearly you haven't been paying attention to the American people. The American people have been screaming since Pam Bondi took office, they want to see people arrested. I do too. Republicans and Democrats. I want to see everybody that's committed treason rolled up, regardless of what their party, their social status, or their money. And why the fuck is Bill Gates still alive? Now this motherfucker wants to block out the sun? Trump, what the fuck are you doing? This guy is a threat to humanity. He's committed crimes against humanity. What fucking part of that did you miss? I mean, seriously. He shows up at the White House talking about vaccines, and you double down on vaccines? You had John Rich at dinner tell you vaccines are toxic, killing people. And you're still patting yourself on the back for warp speed. Dude, wake up. Pay attention to your base. They've been telling you for how long? Oh, 100 days. That's right. And I don't want to hear one more fucking time that the wheels of justice spin slowly. Fuck you. Start arresting people. You got enough information at NSA and from DOGE to go arrest everybody around Obama, including Obama, and that motherfucker needs to stand trial for treason. Stop fucking around and get to work. I've heard probably a dozen times. It takes time to build an airtight case. No, DOJ is full of insurgents. Fire people, hire good people, get to work. Get it done. Do you think if I was a captain or a major in an armor battalion and my commander said, I want you to cross the line of departure at 0700. I said, you know, sir, I'm going to need an extra week to do that because the wheels of justice spin really slowly and I need to build an airtight case against the enemy before I cross the LD. I'd have 9 rounds in my chest and 8 rounds in the head just to be sure. And yet DOJ is doing the roadshow like DHS. Like I'm tired of the Instagram Barbie and the DHS Barbie going on Fox News talking about all the great things they're doing. I get the pressers, right? Nobody cares. We want to see mass deportations and arrests. There's no ambiguity, and we want mRNA vaccines. We want all of those banned. We want Congress to actually go back to work and actually fucking do something. Like pass a budget that makes sense now that you know where all the fraud is. Like they haven't gone in and institutionalized cutting the budget for all these things they found. I don't know if you realize that or not, but Congress has to go and cut the appropriations for all these organizations. Otherwise, they still get paid. It's still in the next budget cycle. And every time they passed a continuing resolution, which they did, all of those programs are still getting paid, regardless of what DOGE found. They have to institutionalize the cuts, which means they have to put it in black and white. This program will no longer be funded. And it can't be a 2,500 or 5,000 page bill. That's a bunch of nonsense. One page bills. IMO defunded. UN defunded. CIA defunded. See how that works? Very quick. Could be 1 cent. CIA defunded. Actually, it should be 2 cents. CIA defunded. All of you go fuck yourselves. And same with state, all the different organizations. That's how you do it. You have to take it out of the budget if it's in the budget. You have to vote on and approve a budget. And this nonsense about we don't have the votes or blah, blah, yeah, go fuck yourselves. You supposedly have a majority. We're done hearing your excuses. Mike Johnson, you're a cuck and you're a pedophile. Do your fucking job. And here's the reality, though. It's all kidding aside. The reality is the system has to fail because it's so broken. You can see how broken it is. And you can see that there's no redeeming anybody in the current apparatus, even if they have the right intent. Because I've been told several times that Trump is a true patriot. He truly loves his country. He truly wants to revive this country. And I believe that. I believe he probably does. But he's surrounded by swamp creatures and idiots. And they have, you know, created an existential crisis for themselves because of their support for Israel. And because they've committed to things that they haven't followed through on. Like people are starting to ask questions about RFK now. This guy was supposed to ban mRNA. Why hasn't he banned it? And those battle cries are only going to get louder. The longer this goes, it gets louder. And at some point, somebody's going to go off the reservation. And that's going to be that. Or there's going to be some kind of a major event. I still think disclosure is coming, whether they like it or not. And I think that Virginia Guthrie was the leak in the dam that created the waterfall that we're starting to see now. And it's only going to get more and more intense. Question is, this is why I covered bias and belief systems, because in the information game, we play your belief system, we play your bias against you. And it's been, I mean, look, it's highly effective, right? QAnon, the Q movement, the BlueAnon movement, it's the same thing, right? They just flipped the script and now they're playing against liberals. 420, Trump's going to declare martial law. The fight's going to be on 420. Nothing happened. You know, Trump's not going to take office. He's going to be arrested on his inauguration day. He's probably going to be arrested on the podium. Nothing happened. The whole Q thing, nothing can stop what's coming. That's right, because nothing's coming. Nothing came. Nothing happened. No one was arrested. Bill Barr is still the Bush ball licker. Nothing changed. They played the bias against you. Your own bias. They played it against you. And my point of saying all that is, if the truth comes out and it's proven to be fact, are you going to believe it? Because I could tell you a lot of people won't believe it. The cognitive dissonance is so strong and the bias is so strong that people won't buy it, even if it's staring them in the face. And that's a tragedy, because that is probably what we're going to see this summer. We're going to see some serious disclosures this summer and people aren't going to believe it. And it's probably factually true. Probably going to be proven factually true. Like the current one that's going around, which I don't know where I land on this one, is that the planes hitting the Twin Towers were holograms. Okay. Like to see how that tech works. But the Building 7 conspiracy is proven fact now and starting to come out what really happened with Building 7. The question is why? Why was Building 7 brought down? Right. And it goes back to what I was saying about the disclosure around Hitler surviving the war. A lot of people still don't believe it. And no matter where you land on it, the point is, the question is not, did he win? Did he live through the war? Did he make it to Argentina? The question is, who allowed him to stay there? And who knew he was there? And most importantly, who enabled him to stay alive? You're talking about the most wanted guy in history, right? Again, bias played against us. And the religion of the state was played against the American people for over 80 years, 90 years now, right? Axis is bad. Allies are good. Nazis were bad. Allies were good. And look, let's face it. We did some awful shit, just like the Germans, just like the Japanese, just like the Russians during the war. I don't know if most of you realize this, but Claire Chennault, when he was running the Air Force in the Pacific, he firebombed Japanese cities, firebombed them. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed in firebomb raids. That was attacks on civilians. Those were not military targets. And we did it to multiple Japanese cities, created firestorms that killed thousands of people. When's the last time you heard that in a history book? When's the last time you even saw that in a history book? And what about the genetic experiments we did after the war through the atomic regulatory, I can't think of the name of it, Atomic Energy Commission. We did a lot of genetic experiments at Area 52. We did a lot of stuff at Area 51. We did a lot of stuff at Area 50. Did you know that we tested nuclear rockets and they blew the shit up and radiated Area 52 and Area 51? Down at Groom Lake. Did you even know that we did that in the 50s? Yep, we did all the way up to 1970. And just because we got away from the above ground test didn't mean we weren't doing below ground tests, blowing shit up. We did things, we did awful things during the war, just like the Germans, just like the Japanese. We are guilty of our own crimes. But the point is, the religion of the state and the bias that was created is that everything we did shortened the war. Okay, you can make a case either way, but historians have never been allowed to look at that and to truly analyze and say, was that really necessary? What was the, you know, what was the catalyst for that decision? Was that in warnings and indications at the time? Was that based on intelligence that you had around the Japanese? Or was that, you know, basically a long-term decision to decimate part of the population so they couldn't reconstitute? There's some serious decision-making going on there. But the religion of the state won't let anybody really analyze it. And because of that, you have a bias, right? And our bias towards World War II was that, you know, we fought for moral reasons. Humma, humma. The point is, when you see the information that comes out of disclosure and it's proven to be true, which a lot of this conspiracy theory has been proven to be true, are you going to believe it? I can tell you that most of the people on the left will not believe it. And more importantly, they will deny everything. I mean, look at what they're doing. They're burning Teslas, the same people that bought Teslas, the same people that walked around and were insufferable barking seals about driving electric. They're burning Teslas. That should tell you that the brainwashing is very, very strong on the left. There's a certain percentage of the population on both the left and right that's never going to come off the ledge. And I've, you know them. Right? You know those folks on the left, you know those folks on the right. They're never going to come off the ledge. It's the 70% in the middle that we need to realize what the truth is. And that's why the system is so flooded with so much information right now. That's why Smith-Mund has to be repealed. The Smith-Mund Modernization Act has to be repealed. We have to be able to hold news agencies accountable for blatant lies. Imagine CNN. If Smith-Mund was repealed and they had to prove sources and prove information, most of them would be rolled up in a week. Same with MSDNC. And then we have to roll up the oligarchs that are behind those stories. All the political games that have turned toxic over the last 20 years, all of that has to be corrected too. And the only way you do that is you arrest people and you put them in prison. You make it a deterrent, especially for rich people. They need to know that they're not above the law. And this two-tier justice system that we've been living under for the last 50 years needs to end. And the reality is, we all know how it's going to end. It's going to end with a revolution. And I think that, to be perfectly honest, I think that the die's already been cast and we're already headed that way, regardless of what we do. And this time, our question really is not going to be, do we liberate the U.S.? The question is, do we liberate the U.S. and Mexico and, you know, flush out all the malfeasance once and for all? Because Canada is a communist country. Mexico is a narco state. We cannot survive having those two environments right at our border, especially sharing a, you know, 2,500-mile border with Canada. We can't afford to have that level of threat on our borders. And that's why I say it is going to be probably a revolution that resets the country. But we'll see. I think there's a lot of things yet to come that we haven't seen, and I'm very curious to see how that's going to play out in the next several months. But we are headed towards some kind of a massive disclosure. I mean, everybody can feel it, right? Everybody feels there's like some event coming. And, you know, I don't know where I land on the pole shift thing. I don't know where I land on the whole alien disclosure thing. I don't know where I land on all that stuff. I think there's something else. There's something else there. And I think it's going to be something that we don't anticipate. Because remember, the elite are 2 to 3 years ahead of us. They have the resources, the means, and the people, and the technology to be ahead of us. Because remember, Trump can bend time and space. Those disclosures, I think, are going to be interesting. when they come out and why they come out. Because the question nobody asks is why. Why now? Why are you releasing this now? What's the catalyst for you to release this now? Nobody asks those things. So we'll see. And we'll see what the next 100 days bring. If it brings more chaos, I seem to think that summer is going to be a very violent and turbulent summer. But I could be wrong. It could be peaceful and quiet. I do know this. They are doing their level best to keep the economy put together because they know that if the economy implodes, civil war. And they do not want that. So it'll be very interesting to see what the next few months bring. But in lieu of that, again, I will be back Monday on the 5th with my last show. And then I'll transition over to the Path Forward. If you haven't gone out to the Path Forward, it's in the show notes. Please go over there, click follow, and I will start the new channel on May 9th. That channel will be monetized, by the way, and the Substack will be a subscriber base as well, and I'll have free articles. I'll have analysis that's not free. I'm going to put together a couple of things. I am going to put together for Substack is I'm going to put together a cybersecurity workbook for both Windows as well as for Linux that people can use to harden their systems. Talk through some of the vendors for what you should use personally, and then do some analysis on some of the operating systems. Like, I don't know if you know it, but Apple AI records everything on your screen. Your sense of privacy is over. I haven't upgraded to that version, which is version 14.62 or 14.7 is the newest version. I haven't upgraded to it on any of my machines. I don't think I will. Once I figure out how to convert the Mac to Linux, I'll probably blast it with Mint or another instantiation. I'm also going to ask Chris from Combat Studies Group to publish an article about flashing a phone. And then if you want him to do it, he can flash phones for you. It's really what it depends on is if you want to go through the ass pain of doing it. I did it myself, learned a lot doing it, had to go through, I reflashed. I had Kali X first, and that was a buggy mess. So I went to Graphene. Graphene's more stable, but if you de-Google your phone, I will warn you. If you really want to live without the surveillance, once you de-Google your phone, which means you don't load any of the Google objects, none of the Google mapping stuff, once you do that, a lot of apps for Android will not work on that phone. Anything that requires the Google apps to use and the Google dependencies will not work on your phone. Full stop. So you will sacrifice some of the functionality you have. Like I use a mapping program that's not Google Maps, and it's retarded, like totally retarded. So there are trade-offs, and you need to decide that's what you want to do before you switch over to a de-Googled phone. But I can tell you that, and the other thing that's retarded about my phone is the signal. Maybe it's the phone version I bought, but yeah. So there are trade-offs, just to forewarn you. But there are options there. Chris from Combat Studies Group does do those. He flashes phones, and he can do all that work for you. So we'll try to put together. I'm definitely going to put together some technical guides, some go-to checklists for security, as well as some go-to for information warfare. Because there's a host of information out there that hasn't been encapsulated anywhere. And I think that would be a good reference point for people to realize when, you know, psychological operations are being used against you. I mean, your first tell is when all of the mainstream media either don't talk about it or they all parrot the same thing. If they're not talking about it, it means they don't want you to know about it. If they are talking about it, assume it's a psyop and it's bullshit. And that's your first clue. And again, they use your bias against you. So be cognizant of that. As well as look for the new Substack. As soon as I get all this stuff put together, I will post it online. It'll be in all the show notes. And I will do probably another quick, I don't want to say sit rep, but a situation update that I'll post as the last update after 4 or 5 with all the links and where everything's at. So look for that. Probably May 7th is when I'll publish all of that so you can find it. But the path forward is in the show notes. It's at the very top. Click on it, hit the follow button. And if you haven't got a shirt, go ahead and get a shirt. I don't make any money off the shirts, so we should spread the word. So anyway, folks, I'll be back on Monday the 5th to do the last situation report. Until then, God bless. One team, one fight.